So let's just go over these three areas very briefly and quickly. I want to share with you that God's all-inclusive gift was the giving of the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is one, but it is God's all-inclusive gift. The Holy Spirit is given to us as the Spirit of Jesus Christ the Lord. The Spirit of fullness was God's ascension gift to the church for the Lord Jesus' sake. Let's just turn for a moment into the second chapter of Acts, and you'll see how the Lord Jesus, ascending up into heaven, as he did so, God blessed our Lord Jesus and gave to us, the church, something spectacular. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel of God, says Peter, the foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified him. Then later on, we discover how that the Lord Jesus, or rather earlier in the ascension, how the Lord Jesus ascended up into heaven. And God gave the Holy Spirit because Jesus went into heaven. And there is God's gift to the church. God's gift to the church. It's curious, but we forget that God was generous. Until this time, the Holy Spirit had only been with people. He had not been in people. But now we discover in the Word of God that he is in us. Notice the gift of the Spirit was purchased for the people by the Lord Jesus Christ. Every blessing we have is through the merits and the mediation of our Lord Jesus. If you'll turn with me to Galatians and discover chapter 3. I have to be so careful not to spill notes everywhere, which is a little silly. But notice from verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Notice, please, that this is God's gift. We receive that promise through faith because, quite simply, it was purchased for us. So when you go and purchase a gift for someone, understand afresh, Jesus Christ purchased the Spirit for us. Understand that once the purchase was made, then when he ascended into heaven, God delivered the gift. And we received the Holy Spirit. There is Christmas revealed in a nutshell. There is another gift, this gift of life. Now we listen to the abject doom of Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. There is a massive statement. And when I consider my estate and our estate, when we look at ourselves and understand that there is nothing in us that is righteous, and none of us can save ourselves, and it isn't possible for any one of us by our own works or by our own abilities to present ourselves to God in any form of holiness or righteousness, in any shape, manner, or form at all. It's utterly impossible. When you consider that, then you have to listen to the words of the Lord Jesus as he speaks them in the Gospel of John where they're recorded. And he says, I give unto them that believe on me eternal life. John 10:28, for those of you looking this up. It's confirmed in John 17:3, when the Lord Jesus, expressing himself in prayer, thanks God for giving these that he has redeemed, for giving them to him. Now notice, will you, there is no offer of eternal life. God doesn't offer you eternal life. There is no offer of eternal life. God isn't saying, let receive my offer. There is no offer of eternal life. I give them eternal life. There is no offer. I give. It's completely different. Even in American English, it's completely different. The motor car salesman says, I'll get you into a car. What he means is he's going to take all my money and then some, and I am going to purchase that car and drive it away. He is offering me a deal. A brother sees my need, my motor car has fallen to pieces, and he says, you can't keep on with that junk heap. Take my car. I've given it to you. That is not a deal. That is not a bargain. It is a gift. It is a gift. And often in our thinking about the things of the Word of God, we somehow imagine that we make great deals with God. We bargain off certain parts, and we bargain for certain privileges. And in our prayers, often we're in that attitude, Lord, if I do this, you do that. And we forget that the eternal life is God's gift. He's given it to you. Given it to you. Now, I remember on one occasion, I was spending quite a lot of time at a place where there were lots of children, and I'd taken some toys, and I'd taken these toys and given them to children. And I was quite pleased with my little self. I'd purchased several little packages of this, that, and the other, and there was one that was a special car, and there was one child that really liked motor cars, and this thing was rather expensive, and it was rather nice, and I knew absolutely when I purchased it, he would love this car. And when I got it all wrapped and gave it to him, he thanked me, and he went to the corner of the room, and he unwrapped it, and he found the car. It was a beautiful car, even for a toy. He cranked it up. It had a key in those days. And he wound the thing up, and it zoomed up through the room, and it knocked into several kids' ankles, and they sort of yelped and made a lot of fuss. There were girls there. And he collected his car, and he wound it up, and it came zooming back, and soon he had the middle of the floor all to himself. And he was having a great time, and we were all talking and chattering. And a moment or two later, I turned, and I was absolutely flabbergasted. Do you know what he was doing? He had a foot on that car and was using it like a scooter down through the room. Oh, the wheels weren't revolving. They were stationary. And he was pushing and shoving and standing, and it was caving in. Oh, my heart sunk. My gift was now abused. God says, I give you eternal life. I give it to you as a gift. Packaged in the Lord Jesus, I give you a gift. It's called eternal life. Now, what do you do with it? Do you crank it up and send it up and down the center of the room, or are you abusing it by sticking your foot on it and using it as a scooter in a manner that it was never meant to be used? Paul says some people use their faith as a cloak for their unrighteousness and their wrongness. There are people that abuse the gift of eternal life. They speak about Christianity as an ethic. They speak about Christianity as a religion. They talk about the Judo-Christian religion, or the religious Judo-Christians, or Christian Judos, whichever way they want to go. And it's a great shame that we misunderstand. We're actually speaking of eternal life, as opposed to eternal death. Our sin, the wages of it, demands death. God said, I love you. Here's eternal life. We say, when it's convenient, we'll strike a bargain. God says, there's no bargain to be struck. Receive my gift. I give eternal life. And that's the statement of salvation. There's another gift. And perhaps we need it. There is the gift of understanding, as we read in 1 John 5:20. The gift of understanding. We know the Son is come and hath given us understanding that we may know him that is true. We know, says the writer, the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding. This understanding is perhaps better understood if we realize that it's an inner illumination. God illuminating the Spirit and revealing the Spirit to ourselves to start off with, taking the mind as it is and fitting it to receive new thoughts about the Lord Jesus. I don't know if you've ever prayed this prayer, but it came upon me some few years ago that I had to ask the Lord to change my mind. I couldn't. I'd spent several years trying to change my mind, or if you like, to re-evaluate, if you must get into the modern jargon, to re-evaluate myself, to find myself, to discover myself. But really, I needed to change my mind. It was like a dirty diaper that needed changing. I hope that offends you. Because when you look at your mind, quite simply, beside the scripture, you'll find that it's rather like a very dirty diaper. Quite filthy. The inner illumination is divine light shining in our hearts, enabling us to discern the glory of God shining in the face of the Lord Jesus. We need so desperately to see that glory, the Shekinah glory that was revealed in Moses when he saw just the hinder part of God as God passed by. We need to see. We need to understand something of that illumination. Now, we need to see it, but it's discovered only in the face of Jesus. And so we must look steadfastly upon the face of our Lord and Savior. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. See, get understanding and you'll get glory. And that glory needs to shine in the face. And it shines in the face of Jesus. This is 2 Corinthians 4, 6. We must understand, for God who commanded the light to shine. We didn't ignite it. We didn't go around lighting some little candles at Christmas. God commanded the light to shine out of darkness, and that light has shined in the hearts of the people believing in Jesus Christ the Lord. So now, ladies and gentlemen, we discover that this light of the knowledge of the glory of God is shining in the face of Jesus Christ. It is shining in the face of our Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the reasons it doesn't shine so much in our hearts is that we don't chase after understanding. We chase after knowledge, but anybody can learn knowledge. You can go to the library and become more knowledgeable. You can go to school and gain knowledge, but to have the gift of understanding doesn't even come with a great honors degree in psychology. To get understanding is to get to the position where we can look at the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Would you like to come there? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. When did any of us last dare to look into the face of our Lord Jesus? When we come and sit around this table, we dare look at the face of Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God. We dare. All knowledge of him is seated in understanding. Not understanding as with a calculated mind, but understanding as in seeing the glory of God. The understanding of Jesus Christ lights a fire in the affections and sanctifies the will and elevates the mind that is fixed on Him. Have you noticed how low you become when your mind is off the Lord Jesus? Have you noticed how many thoughts invade your mind when your thoughts are not fixed on Jesus? And have you noticed how the devil seems to be able to bring a great onslaught of thinking that is contrary to the things of God when you think about the Lord Jesus? I believe this is, of what I'm speaking, I believe it is the understanding, this wondrous gift, I believe it is quite simply this, a supernatural bestowment. I don't believe we can sort of pump it up within ourselves. I don't believe we can build it up around our own thinking. And I don't believe any discussion and any argument is going to bring us near or nearer to the comprehension of this. I believe quite simply this, it is a supernatural bestowment from God. And I believe it's for every believer. Every believer. No efforts of ours can bring this to come to pass. It is the divine gift conferred, and saints who discover it discover the secrets of the Most High God. But then I'm not exactly sure that I know exactly what I'm saying. I know that what I'm saying is accurate, and I know it's true. I know it's we are able to discover it and reach to it and comprehend it when it happens. But we have to become like children in order to get there. And the worst of us is very often we don't want to become like children. The simplicity of a child is a little beneath our spiritual dignity. Yet unless we become as one little child, as a little child, we will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. I'm really not positive I understand exactly what I'm saying experientially. But I know scripturally I'm right. Have you got the gift of understanding? Now I know some of you will go away and say, but they're not the gifts of the Spirit. I'm not discussing the gifts of the Spirit. I'm discussing God's great gifts. Some of which, only three that we've mentioned here. The great gifts that He has given us. There is the gift of repentance. There is the gift of His Son. There are other gifts that He has given. But have you got the gift of understanding? Of looking into the face of Jesus? Do you remember the hymn that says, "Power with men and with God"? You know how we get that power with men and power with God? It surely is in the simple place of looking in the face of Jesus. God will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory, and He will not fail you. Do you believe that? He will do it. But if you go and seek to do it for Him, He won't have to. And so you won't see His face. Let's be real careful that we understand quite simply. Here is a gift. There is the gift of understanding. There is the gift of the Holy Spirit. A wonderful gift that He has given, because both those gifts reveal the gift of life. You got that life? How do you get it? Well, my dear friend, by acknowledging that Jesus Christ, truly, born of a virgin in Bethlehem of Judea, is God's beloved Son. Let's bow in prayer. As we think about these things, our Father, we ask that Thou would be very close to us, thou wilt take us closer into thy confidence and teach us those things that please thee. We ask this in thy name. Amen.